Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle OP, Pastor Director of the Catholic Community. It is Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil.
Mark adds this one little box on this. there was a young man following him who was covered with nothing but a linen cloak. And they grabbed him, and he left the cloak behind and ran off naked into the night. It was a frightening time. People lied and said they'd never even heard of Jesus. Some tried to follow from a distance, and by the way, that never works very well. You kind of either can or you're out. But some tried to follow from a distance, and that ended up kind of falling apart too. And now, the story says, it's dawn on the first day of the week. Just as the darkness is beginning to be replaced by the light, these women decide that they, the least that they can do is anoint his body for burial. And they take the risk, and they go to the place where they heard that his body was taken. I love the detail that Mark adds that on their way here, what were they talking about? Worries. What are we going to do when we get there? We'll roll away the stone for us. With the omniscience that you get to have as somebody that's read the story before, you know that that detail has already been taken care of. It's just that the people in the story don't know that yet. I think of that sometimes when I start worrying, because I don't always know my future. I hardly ever do. And lots of the time, there's a lot of other people, sometimes large sums of money, all kind of strategic decisions to be made. And in this little corner of the world, I'm the place where the buck stops. You can get all kind of good advice, but you still have to make up your mind, decide on a thing. You know, it's like in your life, there's nobody in charge of you, period. You have to decide. And you're worried about something. When I find myself doing that, I often hear this, the echo of the story from that. I'll be worried about whatever it is I'm worried about. I'll clean up his budgets. And I'll be thinking, where is that money coming from? And I'll hear this voice. Maybe it's kind of a sarcastic voice of my guardian angel. Seems so such an errand of mercy. They must have thought it was very important to risk their lives doing it. And oh, by the way, it was completely unnecessary. Here's why. When Jesus was in Bethany reclining at the table in the house of Simon the leper, by the way, if you couldn't find Jesus, where would you look? Where do you go? Anybody seen Jesus? Try Simon the leper's house. Or some other leper's house. Could be your house. You have the house of Simon the leper, and a woman that comes in carrying this alabaster jar of perfume made from expensive aromatic nard. Thank you very much. Probably not something that Jesus routinely dabbed on himself. She comes in with this over-the-top expensive stuff in this dusty place in a leper's house. She breaks the jar and pours the whole thing over his head. Some were saying to themselves, as they think of what's the point of this extravagant business of doing, it could have been sold for 300 silver pieces of money and before. And they were infuriated. But Jesus says, well, let her alone. Why do you criticize her? She's doing me a kindness. She's done what she could. He said to you, leave the guy alone. He's done what he could. By performing my body, perfuming my body, she is anticipating its preparation for its burial. He'd already had a meeting. He even said it. And I assure you, wherever the good news is proclaimed throughout the world, what she has done will be told in her memory. April 7th, 2012, and we're still talking about that lady. What she did what she could, and it'll be told about her in a long, long time. Already in the book. So we rejoin the semi-courageous women on Easter morning on their way to the tomb, worried about something that's been taken care of, on an errand that doesn't need to be run. And when they get there, do they find the body of Jesus? Well, of course they don't. To discern it, what they found was, on entering the tomb, a young man sitting at the right, dressed in a white robe, just staring up at him. You'd be amazed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified. See where they laid him. And then they're given a specific mandate. They're told, you're told, I'm told, go and tell. This command is one of the language you go do that. Go now and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going to have you to Galilee, where you will see him just as he told you. It's the Easter proclamation. We're in a major key again. Harps and bells and lights. Jesus is risen from the dead. Go and tell. I don't know if you know it, but the way that the readings are often set up in the lectionary, the book we read from the past, people just take one little section, kind of serialize the story. Someone will start at verse 3 and run to verse 17. Sometimes we'll even skip verses in between the way it's laid out. You know that the story, the way this one is set to be told in the lectionary tonight, the last line of it is, go now and tell his disciples that Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him just as he told you. Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the Lord. If you read one more sentence, they don't do it. They don't do it. I just want to edit that part out. Let's stop at this period right before that sentence. They don't do it. And in the Greek, it goes, and instead of doing that, they made their way out and ran. They fled from the tomb, bewildered and trembling. Megalophobos. Mega! by the millions. And they're so phobic, they say nothing to anyone that doesn't have red elbows. The gospel of the Lord. Well, it's no wonder we stop one second short now. Talk about it. Could you give us a little hallelujah with, like, nasty sounds at the end of it? Some bass banging. It's laughable. But it wasn't so funny to the people in the early church. We know that Mark wrote this document and edited it the way that he did, with them going away and being absolutely disobedient to the Easter message. And said, nothing. Let me ask you, what are you not doing because of your megalophobos? If you weren't afraid, what would you be saying? What would you be doing? Now it comes to mind. If you were to be set free to say and do and to act something that you believe to be holy, that you're invited and called to do, but you're bewildered and trembling at the thought of it, what would you feel? What would you do? One last little detail. That guy in the white robe, the one that was ready to run right out of his clothes, naked into the dark, only Mark records that little detail. And he runs. Whenever only one comes in, there's four gospels, whenever only one of them contains a detail like that, scholars pronounce all of it at the same time. And you know what they say about that passage? This unnamed person, this every person dressed in white, ready to drive a ride out their own white garment into the dark, rather than be associated with the one who's about to be arrested. Church that wanted to run out of its baptism when Jesus was arrested. Somehow, they edit the film, rewrote the tape, and were dressed up again. And God is ready to say, I know you'll get it right this time. That looks like the cross to finish the lyric. Mark ends this gospel on such an unresolved, tense note on purpose. Any of you that know music, it's ending a piece, a grand piece of music, 16 chapters of the gospel, and ending it on a seventh note. just need that much rain. Just a little bit. And you ask God to bless it. Like a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, a little bit of faith, a little bit of courage. Would you bless it and make it not only enough, but would you make it super abundant? And then would you help it get up out of the air? And do the thing that you ask for to do. Know and thank God for the best it is that anybody will ever do.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.